Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition of the Basic Gospel program. The number is always 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now if you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, perhaps a personal issue you're going through. We'd like to talk about it with you. So give us that call at 844-322-2742. But do it now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Bob, a number of years ago when I first got into ministry and started doing some writing and that sort of thing, I bought a book called How to Say It. And I wanted a book to kind of jar me out of just using the same phrase over and over and over and over and over again.
Do you by any chance still have it?
I do. It's on my shelf in one of our offices here. But I was thinking about that book the other day as I was reading through all of Paul's letters. And Paul obviously didn't buy that book or didn't read that book, because he started every single letter in exactly the same way. There was some type of greeting, and then he always said this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love well, that. If you want to know how to say it, that's how to, that's how you it. Say it. There's no better way to greet somebody than that: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the way that we experience peace and joy and contentment. It is by the grace of God. There is no other way. Now, Paul, for most of his life, greeted others with the Hebrew greeting, which was simply shalom, which means peace. Yeah. Well, once he met Jesus Christ, he knew that his peace came from Jesus, that it was only as a result of the grace of God. So he was trying to gain peace. He wanted to be at peace with God, and he was doing everything in his power, zealous for the Jewish way of life, filled with zeal, and yet he was still miles away from that peace in his heart. And then he met Jesus on that road to Damascus, and everything changed. Why? Because the grace of God had been poured out into his life. And the result of that was the peace of God. So if you want to experience true joy, true contentment, true peace in your life, it's going to start with the grace of God. Yes. Now, Paul wrote 13 letters that we have in our Bibles today. So almost, when you look at the word count and all of that, almost two-thirds of the New Testament were penned by Paul, and he starts every single letter in exactly the same way. God, by the Holy Spirit, had given him the way to say it. And so he said it, and he said it often: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he explained this in all of his letters. He talked about the fact here in Philippians 3 that we have the gift of righteousness. We're not found with a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, because there is no righteousness there. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. So we have to be given the gift of righteousness. So he explains it here in Philippians. We go to Romans chapter 3. We see Paul explaining it there, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but have been freely justified by the grace of God. Now, you fast forward in Romans to Romans chapter 5. It says all those who have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ are now at peace with God. So what does that mean? You have this this tranquility of soul assured of its salvation. You know you are in right standing with God. You know that you are holy and blameless in God's sight, not because of anything that you've done, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. Grace, yes. Because of grace. And as a result of grace, you're at peace with God. So do you want genuine joy, true contentment, peace? It starts with the grace of God. Paul said it best. He said it time and time again. And if we're going to experience peace, it always is going to start with the grace of God.
Absolutely. And as you say, what better way to start than that that greeting from the Apostle Paul. I love that phrase, and gosh, I like to use it myself.
Well, you have every opportunity when you meet people, grace and peace.
That is true, Bob. 844-322-2742. We have a line open for you at Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you again, 844-322-2742. Bob, you know, you and I have been at this a long time, many, many, many years, but the truth of the matter is that we couldn't have done it without the support of so many of our listener friends across this country and sometimes literally around the world in foreign countries as well. So we just say, gosh, just from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting this ministry and this message of God's unconditional love that we call Basic Gospel. We would love for you to join us if you're new to the broadcast, and if what you're hearing every day is resonating with you, well, we encourage you to stand with us. You can go to basicgospel.net and click that big, broad donate button just about any time, night or day, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. That's the number. But, Bob, we got calls coming in.
Yes, we do. One note before we go to those calls, as far as our contributions are concerned, we always experience some summer doldrums.
Yes.
In July and August. So lift us out of those.
Yeah.
Stand with us so that we can get this message out, so that we can pay our airtime and do what we need to do to continue reaching people with the love and grace of Jesus Christ, helping people truly experience peace with God as a result of understanding the grace of God. So come join us in this great work that God is doing. You'll be blessed in investing. There's no better investment than in the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. So come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, let's go to Monticello, New York, and talk to Frida, our good friend Frida. Hi, Frida. You're on the line.
And Frida, before we go to your call, I'm always confused. Is it Monticello or Monticello?
I don't know. I've always called it Monticello, but people call it Monticello. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what the right word. I always say Monticello.
We'll go with that.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, first, Bob, next month I'm definitely going to start donating to this ministry.
Well, thank you so much, Frida.
You're
welcome. Appreciate that. God bless you for that.
Well, thank you for everything that you do. So my question is, okay, so in verses such as Jeremiah 7:23, where God tells the children of Israel, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And in Jeremiah 11:4, where he again says, obey my voice, and do according to all that I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. Now, when it comes to the words will and shall, are these indicating something that was to happen in the future? Like, were the children of Israel already God's people, as he calls them my people in 2 Chronicles 7:14, or was them becoming God's people conditioned on whether or not they would obey his voice and his commands? And in really quick, in Jeremiah 31:33, speaking about the new covenant, God says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. With Jeremiah 11:4, it seems like the condition of the Israelites being God's people was based on them, where Jeremiah 31:33 seems as if them being God's people was based on a promise made by God. So beforehand, were they not God's people, and or did they have to become God's people? And my second question is, and when he talks about putting the law in their minds and writing it on their hearts, I know this is not referring to the law of Moses, so is he referring to the law of the Spirit, which is found in Romans 8:2? Because a lot of people will say that when he writes the law on your hearts and minds, that is talking about he's going to give us that obedience to obey his Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Well, those are great questions, Frida. And as far as Israel, the people of Israel, so God showed up in Abram's life and blessed Abram and gave him some promises and said that you're going to have a son. The son is going to be a son of promise. And that happened. God fulfilled that promise. Isaac was born. He was that son of promise. And then God showed up in Isaac's life and said the same thing to him. And so that bloodline kind of followed through to Jacob. And then Jacob had the 12. And then we know Judah. And from the line of Judah came Jesus. And he was ultimately the seed that God had talked about to Abram. And so God had chosen a bloodline, so to speak, to bring forth Messiah into the world, to bring Jesus into the world. That's why the New Testament, the book of Matthew, starts out with a genealogy, and that's why Luke records a genealogy to show that Jesus was kind of the fulfillment, the end, the culmination of this bloodline, truly the seed that God had promised years and years ago to Abram. So God protected that bloodline. He protected them in numerous ways. He showed them his grace. He freed them from Egyptian bondage. He parted the Red Sea. He brought them out of that and freed them, liberated them. And then he established a covenant with the people. And that covenant we know as the Mosaic Covenant, the law. And for that group going forth until the time of Jesus, there was this Mosaic Covenant in place. And this Mosaic Covenant was an if-then type of contract, so to speak. If they obeyed, then he would be their people. And what we see in the Old Testament is a constant disobedience on the part of the people of Israel, but continued faithfulness on the part of God. Why? Because he knew the end result of their history was going to be Jesus Christ himself, and through Jesus, the whole world was going to be blessed. So that was the old covenant within that time frame, that history. God kept speaking to the people about a time when Messiah would show up, and he also kept speaking to them about a time when a new covenant was going to go into place. So Jeremiah 31 is prophetic about this new covenant. And we see the writer of Hebrews talking about that. He takes the prophecy of Jeremiah and he brings it forward and says this is now in effect because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus put an end to that old covenant and it ushered in the new covenant. So the cross was that place of change, the change from the old into the new. Now, as far as the people of God are concerned, we see in Romans chapter 3, Paul's argument that both Jew and Gentile are under sin and need salvation. So anyone who is truly a part of the people of God has been born again into the kingdom of God, whether Jew or Gentile. So this message concerning Christ went first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And we all stand together as one in him. So no one enters into the kingdom because of their physical birth. We enter into the kingdom through spiritual birth. So those are the true people of God. Does that make sense to you?
It does. So with my second question, when he was saying I would write my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, was this law talking about the law of the Spirit that was found in Romans 8 and 2?
Yes, it's the law of the Spirit of life. So the old covenant became a ministry of condemnation and death. This new covenant is a ministry of life. And so that life is made available to us through the Spirit. And so when the Spirit comes to live inside of us, He pours His love into our hearts. We see that in Romans chapter 5. We are anchored by hope in this new covenant, and we walk by faith. So those are the marks of the new covenant, faith, hope, and love. Paul talks about that throughout his letters. We see those three standing front and center in all of the New Testament. So this is what new covenant living is all about, faith in Jesus Christ. So we needed our hearts changed from hearts of unbelief to hearts of belief. So we go from an unbeliever to a believer, don't we? And
yes.
That's what that new heart is all about. So we walk by faith in Jesus. We express that faith to others in love. And that is all anchored by the hope that we have as far as the gospel is concerned. So that's what God has put into our hearts.
So last question, really, really quick. So even though these promises, like the new heart and the new spirit, was given to Israel by faith, we received these promises?
That's correct. When we believe the gospel, when we receive Jesus, then we are made partakers of the new covenant, and all the promises of that new covenant become ours.
And that's why it's no longer Jew or Gentile. It just becomes one body in Christ.
Absolutely. You nailed it.
Oh, thank you. All right. Thank you, Bob, so much.
Well, thank you, Frida. Thanks for your call. Great question.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Bye.
844-322-2742. If you'd like to have an interactive conference with Bob Christopher, you can do that right now, just as Frida did, and he would love to talk with you. So would I. Give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and talk with Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Bob. First, let me say I just got your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the Study Guide. So I am starting to read that.
And well, wonderful.
I wanted to say thank you. Well, maybe you answered my question already, but so I'm almost 60, and I start listening to Bob George years ago, probably in the early 90s. And I did read his book. Unfortunately, my life, I didn't change, I guess, and you know, I've been in and out of church and around the Word of God all my life. And so I've been listening to you on and off most of the time. And just recently, you and Andrew were talking back and forth about my heart. And I finally got it. And I wanted to share with you guys how much that meant to me to know that my heart was not wicked and evil and deceitful. And I couldn't figure out how come I know I've heard all this before. I mean, because like now my life is so different. I'm starting to experience this love of God that I've never experienced before. And it's just amazing. And so I just first wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much. And the scripture that I called in about was Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword."
Yes, that's a powerful verse, and it's the word of God that brings His truth and grace to these hearts of ours. So it's the word of God that can penetrate all of that confusion that we have, all of that religious error, all of those lies that we had, submitted ourselves to and started to believe. It's the truth of God's word that's sharper than that, two-edged sword, or is the two-edged sword that can cut through all of that. And take this message concerning God's love and grace right to these hearts of ours. Because as Jesus talked about in all of His earthly ministry, that this kingdom is a matter of the heart. He talked about, you know, you can be clean on the outside, but your hearts are far away from me. You can be clean on the outside, but from that heart flows all of these evil things. So if you want to be made right with God, if you want to flourish as a human, if you want to truly experience what God designed you to experience, then God's work is going to start at the heart. And God gives you that new heart through faith in Jesus Christ. So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they chose independence from God. Actually, they chose death. That was their choice. God had breathed life into them, and God said, the minute you eat that tree, eat the fruit of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. So Satan basically convinced them to choose death. Now, that's what I call a good salesman, but that's what they chose. They chose death, and in that death, something happened to their hearts. Their hearts were no longer soft and pliable to God. They were hardened toward God and became unbelieving hearts. And that's what Jeremiah was talking about when he penned that the heart is deceitful and wicked and who can know it. That's what he was talking about, that lost, unregenerate heart. But when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it says that our hearts have been circumcised. We see that in Romans chapter 2. We see it in Colossians chapter 2. And we're given a new heart, a heart from which we flows faith and obedience toward the Lord. So you have a heart that is compatible with God's. And that's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So, and you didn't do anything to earn that or to make that happen. That was a work of grace inside of you. So you are being transformed from the inside out. And as you really start to understand what God has done through Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means to you, you're going to start to see your attitudes change, you start to see your thinking changed, and you start to see your actions change. But that's all part of God's work in and through you, through his Spirit.
Yes, I've already started to see those changes, and I'm just so excited.
Well, and when you do, you just step back and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, because I know you're at the bottom of this. You are the source of this. You are bringing this about through your Spirit. So thank you for what you're doing, what you have done in and through me, and what you continue to do in and through me. And I'm just going to keep trusting you. I'm just going to keep saying thank you. And I'm just going to keep humbly receiving all that you pour into my life.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope to see you guys in October.
Oh, well, great. We hope to see you there as well, Sharon. Make every effort. Come. I think you will really enjoy this conference. But thank you so much for a great call today.
Yeah.
Great to talk with you.
Thanks.
And Bob, talk to the listeners a little bit about that conference as we close.
Yeah, Sharon was talking about our upcoming event, October 15th through the 17th, entitled United. We have been united to Christ. So we're just not out there by ourselves trying to make it on our own with a little encouragement from the heavens to kind of keep pushing us forward. No, God has actually united himself with us through his Spirit. So he is with us. We have God's presence with us all the time.
Yes.
Every believer in Christ, that is true of. And we want to solidify that reality in your life and then help you enjoy some great fellowship with other like-minded believers. So come be a part of it October 15th through the 17th.
And you can get all the information and register online at basicgospel.net/united. Again, basicgospel.net /united. We hope to see you there. It's going to be a great time. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have something bugging you overnight, give us a call, 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Till then, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.